Welcome to episode 183 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Towards the end of last week, I received a last-minute request to cover a track day event at Goodwood Motor Circuit. Now, usually, you'll hear me mention Goodwood when talking about either the Festival of Speed or the Revival events. Well, on this occasion, the day was a much more low-key affair, and in this week's show, I'm going to talk through how I covered various picture requirements whilst at the circuit. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 183! It's just before 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I try not to work all the way through the weekend, but on this occasion it's something that I'm going to have to do, just because I have quite a few deadlines coming up in the following week and beyond that, and various commitments. So the background to this week's show then, I got asked to go and photograph a track day at Goodwood Motor Circuit in West Sussex here in the UK. It was for a Renault club, like an enthusiast type club. And I had hoped that I'd be able to record this as I was shooting. As I'll explain in a minute, there's some track action and then stuff as I was walking around. But for one reason and another, that wasn't possible. There were too many people around talking and people that wanted to have conversations with me, which meant that I wouldn't have been able to concentrate without being interrupted and what have you. Anyway, so next best thing, what I thought I would do is just talk through the day as I look at the pictures that are in front of me. Now, as I say, I try not to work all the way through the weekend, but today I'm going to be hitting the editing of the shots that I took yesterday. In front of me, I've got my computer screen with Adobe Bridge powered up, and as I look at the thumbnail previews, I have got 1,177 files to go through. Now, that is a large enough quantity of pictures, but not all those pictures, of course, are going to make the final cut, because there will be duplicates, there will be maybe a few test shots, which I just didn't delete at the time. The biggest reason that there are so many is that one of the things I had to do was photograph every single car, and we're talking around about 150, 160 cars going around the track. Now, for that, I just positioned myself opposite the chicane, which occurs just before the final, the start straight. And what's the advantage with that is that the light strikes that point throughout the day. In the morning, it's coming from, as I look at the picture, it's coming from the right, and the cars turn into the chicane facing into the light. Later in the day, I think I'm right in saying, as it moves around, trying to think when I went back and shot some more later. So later the sun was more overhead, so the shadows dropped directly below the cars. So let me just give you a bit of information about how those shots were taken. I had my Nikon D3 with an 80-200 f/2.8 lens. Looking at the various data here, just to remind myself, if I can do that, there we go. Shooting at f/8 at ISO 200, around about 400th of a second, 500th, something like that. Now, often, and sometimes it's a bit slower, 250th maybe, often what we try to do is we follow the cars into the chicane or along the track, and we try to record a little bit of movement in the wheels to give the impression of speed and what have you. Because I had so many shots to take, and I just wanted to make sure that I just got a nice a nice record shot of every car, because the drivers are going to want to have, the pictures are going to be used on websites and what have you, but they'll quite possibly want to get a copy for themselves, you know, a bit of pride and all that sort of thing. I wanted to make sure that I just had everything nice and sharp and crisp and what have you. And they're nice pictures. They just don't have the same sort of drama that some more experimental shots might have. So, like I said, I had my D3 80-200. And because of the distance from where I was sat on a bank looking across the track to the chicane, I also had a 2x teleconverter attached. Now, this is something, for those of you who don't know, this is a device that goes between the camera and the lens, and a 2x converter basically doubles the focal length. So, roughly speaking, an 80-200 becomes a 160-400. One of the things with that is you do lose some light, because if you think about it, the light has further or more glass to travel through, through the lens. So what happens with a 2x converter, you can generally lose 2 f-stops of light. So f2.8 becomes f5.6. What does that mean in reality? Slower shutter speeds. Okay. Oh, for those of you that want to know, I shoot on aperture priority. I use f8 to make sure I've got plenty of sharpness. I always focus, when I follow the car into the chicane or what have you, I always focus on the driver. But the f8 aperture is enough to mean that there's still plenty of focus in front across the bonnet and what have you. So that was the setup. On that occasion, I had the setup mounted on a Manfrotto monopod. Now, if I was only doing maybe half an hour of sitting there taking the pictures, I probably wouldn't bother, because you kind of follow the cars into the you sort of pan with them, follow them into the chicane and what have you. But when you're sat there for two and a half hours, it's quite a strain on your arms. And it was a long, hot day, so I wanted to make sure that I didn't wear my arms out too much through just the strain of being in the same position, holding that heavy camera and lens setup. As I sit here recording this, you probably can't hear, but I've got the window open. We've got rain pouring down outside. But yesterday was a lovely hot day. It was something like 29 degrees. When you start to get near 30 degrees over here, that's pretty hot. So, you know, when you're out in the sunshine with very little shade all day, you have to think about your hydration and looking after yourself. Anyway, so that was my setup. I arrived, plan was to be there for 10. I was caught up in traffic beforehand, so it was a little bit later, but it wasn't a problem, because basically there were groups of these cars going round the track. So as long as I captured a shot of every single car, it was all good. So of course I'm not going to go through every single shot here. Let's just say that what I did do was shoot in a way that I can crop in a little bit in post-production, rather than going in too close to begin with. I'm just scrolling through all these hundreds and hundreds of pictures in this first batch. All different types of Renault cars, from Renault Spiders through to Clios and some older stuff from the 80s and all that sort of thing. Lots of colour, lots of blues and silvers and yellows and reds and all that sort of thing. Going through and through and through. What else can I tell you? Okay, so that was the first batch, and that took, let me see, have I got the time here? Yeah, it was about an hour and a half, something like that, for the first batch. And then the next thing was a sort of a formation on the grid. Basically just a photo opportunity, and everyone sort of in their groups sort of parked up on the start grid, and then just did a parade lap and what have you. So I came out to do some shots of that. Now for that setup, I had my D800 with a 24-70 f2.8. And just, it was just a case of working around. There wasn't a lot of time. It was all of maybe about 3 minutes or so, 4 minutes possibly. Lovely blue sky. It was absolutely perfect. The sun was sort of striking the track and the cars from the very front, so the shadows were there. It was really nice. None of the drivers or the windscreens or that sort of thing was in shadow. Again, just working the wide angle to begin with, getting all of the track, looking down the track there, giving a bit of space so that if they want to drop text or anything around there, going even wider, I went up on one of the side banks to look all the way down the track so you could see all of the pit straight, the banks at the sides, really nice. Then I just went in a little bit closer, just, and I was, really sort of going quite quickly, darting in and in between the cars, making my way back up the straight towards the back of the grid. Just when I saw people sort of just leaning out their windows, having a chat, or anyone that looked quite interesting, I sort of would dive across and say, "Oh, quick, can I get a quick picture?" Didn't want them to get out the cars or pose or anything. They're just very proud of their vehicles, so they were more than happy just to sit there and do that. Some sort of slightly wider shots to show the subject, just say off center. Goodwood Motor Circuit is where you will most usually hear me talking about the revival, which is the kind of the vintage themed event which happens later in the year. At this time, they're actually well underway constructing everything, like the bank of seating and all that sort of infrastructure. So it's quite interesting always to see it's always very polished and it looks fantastic, but when you see them actually putting it all together, it's quite interesting. But like I say, it was just a mad dash sort of up the track. Got some really nice smiley people. There's it's a family, but some a couple and then another chap and presumably his daughter in the car, all in this one car. It's really nice, kind of like a one from the, I think, late 70s maybe, or early 80s, this car. Just really nice. They're just so friendly. That's the point with all these people. Then just looking back into the sun, getting some nice sort of shots, still getting a bit of colour in the sky, which is nice. And that was that. And then I thought I was done. And then I was, at last minute, I was told, oh, there's another there's another batch of cars just coming out. So did exactly the same thing, working through the crowd. Interesting thing. Regular listeners or followers will know that I've got quite a big beard. Now, it's a personal choice, what have you, but when you meet other guys that have sizable beards, there's a certain camaraderie there, which is funny in that you wouldn't have thought it makes a difference, but it's a great kind of introduction into breaking the ice. So, for example, there's a guy here in his car, and his, I presume, girlfriend or wife, maybe, next to him. And they're both really smiley, looking straight at the camera, clearly very happy to have their picture taken. And that is because I was able to, I forget what I said, just made some remark about, his beard or, it is such a stupid thing to use facial hair as a way to break the ice, but hey, if that is what's going to do it, then why not? It's all about getting the results. It's the same as if someone has a particular rucksack or backpack when you're out on the trail, and you can say, oh, is that the such and such model? And I was looking at that, but how do you find it? Or I was concerned about this feature. Does it do you find that that's been a problem? Anything like that, in terms of social photography, in terms of trying to put your subjects at ease and getting the shots that you want, it's all about making them feel comfortable. And I've said it many times, photography, this sort of photography, as well as getting the pictures, it's like 90% people skills, 10% technical. It's really all about working the crowd, as you might say. So, just a little aside there. There are a couple of occasions like that. Looking at the people here, you know, some people aren't so keen to be photographed. Everyone was, actually, I was very lucky, everyone was more than happy. So, yeah, just kind of working it through here. They all drove off. That was that. Let's just skip through here. Once that was done, I had about a three quarters of an hour, maybe an hour, to quickly grab something to eat. So I didn't really have much, but the main thing for me was to make sure that I got some water because, you know, as I said before, you've got to stay hydrated. So that was my priority. I had lots of water in the car, in the back of the car. There was water available in bottles as well, so that was good. So I had a quick break, literally for about 5 or 6 minutes. Then it was a case that I needed to photograph the paddocks where all the cars were set up. People were, you know, tinkering with them, polishing them, just stood there talking about the cars, what have you. In the event, I only had just under half an hour because people, you know, wanted to stop and chat. And I love having these conversations. It's great. So I didn't get much done with that. And there's a few sort of choice pictures along the way, which is kind of cool. You get things like helmets on the top, on the roof of the car, that sort of thing. People just milling around, like I say. You know, so I, when I was saying about the quantity of pictures I've shot, there's a shot here of a couple of helmets on a car. One of them's ever so slightly closer, crop. I probably didn't need to take both, but I did, just, you know, to give me options, so I'll only use one of those. With these pictures, just having a look here. This one here, let's just have a look, focal length. Bear with me. There we go. So, yeah, so these are all shot on my D800 with a 24-70. The reason I didn't use the other setup was because that 2x converter setup is so powerful that it's almost too much in fairly close proximity. And because you're losing that light, when you're shooting into paddocks where there's canopies, the garages and what have you, and it's that much darker, you start to really get slower shutter speeds. And I didn't really want to be putting the ISO up and all the rest of it. So I knew that I'd be having more time to do the paddock stuff later in the day. So I just did the slightly wider stuff, stuff that I could work with the top end of the 24-70, changing the angles, going down lower. Someone said, oh, if you, if you want to see something funny, there's a car having some serious surgery over here. I thought, okay, what's that? And when I look, half the car's been ripped out the back and they were sort of working on it. So again, just from almost at ground level, just to show all these bits and pieces that are all over the tarmac, you know, it's all about context, about leading the eye into the picture. You know, there's a couple of detail shots, like cars that are for sale, you know, there's a sign put under the windscreen wiper, just things like that. They wanted lots and lots of shots that just talk about, you know, essentially, if you're talking in terms of PR and publicity, showing that it's a, you know, a good, lively event where enthusiasts can get together and talk about their cars and all the rest of it. So it was kind of cool. So I just kind of worked around like that. Probably getting towards the end of these ones now. Yeah, just lots of colour again, all that sort of thing. So by about, what sort of time are we looking at here? By about 2 o'clock. Oh, I had thought that I'd be having to start shooting the track stuff again at one, but in the event that my contact there said, well, look, a lot of the guys are going to be going out again, so you will have already got those shots. So I started again at 2, exactly the same stuff. What I was trying to do is make sure that the cars weren't too sort of head on. The great thing with the chicane is you've got that movement as you look at the picture. The car is moving, if you frame it right, is moving left to right. I often put in a little bit of a slant, so it just adds a bit of dynamic to the picture. Not too much, just enough. Like I say, all those sort of shots, slightly wider, some of them to show some other cars coming up in the background. Yeah, just all much the same. I have to say, many years ago, before I'd done sort of track stuff, when I used to go to events where, like, Revival, for example, or even the Festival of Speed, if we're talking Goodwood, and I didn't have to, it wasn't part of my brief to do track stuff, I thought, oh, do you know, I'd love to do that, because it always seems very exciting, you know, cars going, you know, it's, photographically, for technique, it's a challenge to get the pictures sharp and you know, and freeze the action, and it's just a bit more exciting. But, you know, in all honesty, when you're sat there in really hot weather with no shelter and you have to photograph hundreds of cars coming through the same point, it is really monotonous, or it can be. You know, it's one of those briefs which, this part of it was not as exciting for me, but I had to do it. I don't mind doing it, but I know people that sit next to a track with their iPods on, listening to their music, because it's just, you know, nothing particularly exciting. It's no announcements or anything. It's just trying to break through that, you know, monotony. Thankfully, in that regard, it got to a point where nothing had really happened for about 10 minutes. And I thought to myself, well, there wasn't meant to be a scheduled break. So I phoned my contact and I said to him, look, what's going on? And long story short, it appears that one of the cars somewhere else on the track had sort of leaked some fluids across the track and some oil or something, and that kind of basically stopped proceedings for a while. So I said to him, look, I don't want to just sit here doing nothing. I want to be taking pictures. I don't want to waste any time. So it was decided that actually I'd probably had enough of the track stuff. And I said to him, okay, so if I go over to the paddocks and carry on with that, are you happy that you think I will have got everything for all of the cars? I've pretty much photographed every car coming around, I think. So are you happy that that's enough? And he said, yeah, that's fine, just carry on. So off I went back to the paddock. Just again, it's just sort of like sort of grabbing sort of shots as I went around. So what I did do was, you may be wondering why with the paddock shots earlier I didn't just take off the 2x converter. Well, I was working quite light. I had these two cameras. I had a little pouch which had a couple of bits in, I'll tell you about in a minute. But rather than wasting time, I decided to do the slightly wider stuff, knowing that I'd be going back. On this occasion, at this point, my car was parked not far from the paddock. So I went back to my car, took the converter off and put it safely away in my case, so I wouldn't likely drop it or anything like that, and then I could start working the 80 to 200 around the pits, which is what I did. And a lot of the shots for that later session were like that. Yeah, it's posed a few people around with a wider lens, but you know, just long lens shots. There's one shot here, and half of these pictures I've forgotten about because, of course, you shoot it at the time and you just move on. There's a Renault Clio Sport, I think it is. It's, you know, bathed in sunshine. It's bright blue. Next to it is the sort of like a quarter of the front of a similar model. It was bright red. But this car, it's got its door open. No one is there. But I've shot it from... see if I can get you the exact focal length, because I know it's the 80 to 200. Am I not going to be able to find it now? I don't want to waste time if I can't immediately see it. Looking at it, actually, I remember it was the top end of a 200. Okay, so focusing on the car, f3.2. So that what was behind it went out of focus, the back of the car went slightly out of focus, and I focused on the very front grille where the badge and the number plate is. But it's a landscape format picture, and it's framed. We're always looking for framing. It's actually framed with the structure of another of the garages in the paddock there. And it's just really nice because you've got it's all about contrast. You've got the dark surrounds, of the structure there, the upright supports and the roof and what have you. Then you've got this bright, the car is really punchy. But then beyond that, you've got like a light wall or some structure. So it gives that light, dark kind of, sort of contrast there, which is really, really nice. So just working those sort of angles, I do like, you know, just freely walking around doing the long lens shots. There's some people just stood there having a chat, you know, they're not posed, they're not aware of me taking the pictures. You've got the judges going around the cars because there was awards at the end of the day, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Just all this sort of thing. Now, one thing I mentioned just now, that I had a little pouch which is attached just to a belt loop with a carabiner on my shorts, and in there I had a number of things. I had the audio recorder, which, as I say, I unfortunately didn't get to use, but I also had some little video recorder camera. Think of GoPro and it's that sort of thing. I was actually using a Drift HD, which is a 1080p high definition camera. It's a little bit old now. If I was doing loads of the behind the scenes video, I might sort of upgrade, but you know, more recently I haven't done so much of that, but I tend to use that, which is really good because it's got a screen so you can see live what the scene is looking like. And it's actually got the reason I like it is that it's got the lens rotates 360 degrees. So what you can do, for example, I had this mounted on the hot shoe of my camera so that the screen was basically facing up into the sky. But I then rotated the lens so that it looked at the scene the right way up. I could have put, because I also have like a little ball and socket head, which I can use to offset that sort of slightly to the side of the hot shoe. That means that the screen is facing to the side, so you can view it, and you then rotate the lens. That worked really well. I also had my regular, like, long-term listeners, do you remember I was sent by Kodak a ZX5, like, kind of, you know, shockproof, waterproof, kind of go anywhere little thing that shoots 1080p as well. I used that as well to do some video. So you've got the stuff which is sort of first person POV point of view, you know, as if you're there taking the pictures, just to show my view. It's not a zoomed in footage to show the exact shot as I line it up, but it'll give you the overview and the pace. The other thing that I did with the Kodak camera is when I finished up at the end of the day, I recorded a bit of video for you guys, which is just talking about all of the kit that I was using for that day. Now, the podcasts, as you know, tend to be me talking through an event or a shoot or a thought process or whatever. The video that I have recorded in the back of my car with my Pelly case, with all my kit in, as a 1510, for those of you who want to know, it was just a case of going through saying, right, here is what I've been using today. Here's my D3. This is a D800. These lenses are da, 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 da. In these pockets, there's this and this and this. So, you know, it's just a very short, sort of maybe 4 or 5 minute video. Kind of, I want to do more of this kind of like no frills kind of stuff. And you guys seem to like that. So I'm going to do my best to see if I can work in that sort of stuff. I'm just trying to work through it at the moment. When I get a chance to edit through that and put it live, of course, I'll let you know. There'll be updates on all the social media and what have you. So that's just something else. But the first person, the point of view stuff for behind the scenes is always quite interesting, I think. People seem to like it. So just to kind of round off all of this, really, all the similar shots with, like I say, with sort of, you know, in the paddock and details and sort of stickers, transfers, decals or decals on the, you know, on the bodywork of the cars, all that sort of thing. Just lots and lots of repetitive stuff, just seeing opportunities, people sort of, you know, talking. Oh, then I went, sorry, I must just say, I went to the pit straight, which I didn't think I'd have time to do at certain times. But people were getting ready to go out in their cars again, so people sort of waiting and watching from the pit wall and all this sort of thing. Just, you know, a few detail shots, some stuff from above, which is can be quite interesting. You know, just all of that, you know, compressed perspective, that's, you know, quite nice. Yeah, just people doing what they're doing, really. Oh, and then a few detail shots of under the windscreen wipers, there was a laminated sheet that says, "Congratulations, you've been awarded this prize." So I got a few of those. The final thing of the day was prize giving. And there were 12 prizes being awarded. And for that, just very briefly, it wasn't a big corporate event, so there wasn't big sponsorship, but there was a company that does car polish and wax and all that, and shampoo. They did sponsor those prizes, and they had like sort of glass trophies. I wanted to make sure that they had some branding in there, so we set them up in front of, they had like a stand there that they'd been sort of selling stuff through the day. So we made sure that that was in the background, so at least there was some reference to the, you know, to their brand, their logo, what have you. It's quite big. Didn't need to show all of it all the time, because there was also on their shirts, their t-shirts, there were, you know, their logo and what have you. Again, not much time to pose people. I did a test shot with one of the guys beforehand. I said, right, if you can get people to stand just about here, literally, you know, they wanted to do the shaky hand thing, which is a little bit, you know, is a bit of a cliche, but that's what people expect. That's kind of what, you know, what we do. So you don't have very much time to pose people. So I knew the position. I stayed in the same spot. That was with the 24 to 70 at F. I think 5.6, yeah, so there's enough depth of field on there to capture two people, but still throw, it was a bit cluttered in the background, so I just wanted to throw that out of focus a little bit. And that was basically it. They sort of turned to the camera, got two shots, I think, for each person, pretty much, just in case anyone blinked, and that was it. A couple more grab shots just of the guy just rounding things off, saying thanks for coming and all that sort of thing. And then the very last few shots, about seven shots, the whole of the team organising the event, which was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, just had a chat with them and rounded things off and just said, right, we need to get a group shot of you just in front, just where we are, a couple of cars behind you. And that was it. And that was all done by, I was done by about 6 o'clock? I think. Actually, yeah, it was done by about 5:30. So, you know, all said and done. And that's when I went off and did the video in the car, or stood at the back of the car. And that was it. So it's a bit of a whirlwind of this whole event, but the whole event was, you know, a long, hot day on my feet, rushing around. We were so lucky with the weather, because, of course, now, today, it's all really wet and overcast and what have you. But that's the luck of the draw. If it had been like this yesterday, I still would have been there. We would have just had to have... it could have been quite interesting, because you would have got the, sort of, you know, the rain coming up, at sort of, you know, off the track and all that. But you work with what you're given. And that's it. So just to finish off completely, today is a case of editing. I've got to do that, send a disc of images, and then upload the pictures so that people can, if they want to, I think they want to get prints and things as well, so they can, individuals can download or pay for prints and that sort of thing. So a good little event. Always nice to be outdoors on the weekends in any way, shape or form. Bit of motoring action again, but there we go. So as ever, if you've got any questions, there's probably something that I've mentioned that you wish I'd elaborated on, or if you know, you kind of wanted a bit more clarification, let me know. But for now, I'm going to leave it there, and yeah, I hope that's been of interest. So for now, I'll leave it there. If you haven't seen already, be sure to check out my Instagram feed where I shared behind-the-scenes pictures throughout the day. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.